we had a question asked, I would like to dedicate our discussion to Shoshana Muna Bat Rivka. Her son sponsored the shiur in her honor, and he thanks her for being the amazing mother that she is, and he wanted to tell her to keep up the good work because she's amazing. The question was asked, could we have a basic introduction to the concept of Hashgacha? And then Hashgacha Pratit and Hashgacha Klalit. So, the Rambam, the Ramban, the sages of the Jewish people have taught us that one of the basic concepts of Judaism is the concept of Hashgacha. That God not only created the world, but is also connected to the world. He's watching over what's happening here. This concept is taught to us throughout the Torah. It is one of the concepts that God was teaching the Jewish people in Egypt, where God was showing them, I take care, and I will punish the evildoers, those who afflict you, and I will take you out of Egypt. And there Hashem showed them that there's a connection between Hashem and the world. Hashem didn't just create the world and let it be. This concept is the basic concept behind our tefillah, our prayer. The fact that we pray is that we understand that God is listening. We're talking and He's listening. There's a connection. That's Hashgacha. So there are many actions which we do which point to that connection. We make brachot, Baruch Ata Hashem. We give thanks. We clearly, throughout our day, we live our lives in the realization that Hashem is involved and knows what's going on down below. That concept is intertwined with the concept of Sechar Ve'onish, because part of the concept is God not only created the world, but He's involved with what's happening here. He's involved and He gave us mitzvot and averot. He told us, this is what I want you to do, this is what I don't want you to do. And because God is involved with what's going on here, therefore, if we don't live up to what He wants us to do, He punishes us because He cares what happens down below and He tells us, this is the way I want you to behave and this is the way I don't want you to behave. And if you go in accordance with what I want, I will reward you and the contrary for the contrary, right? So all of these concepts, Sechar Ve'onesh, that there are wages and punishment, the concept of Tefillah, all these concepts are connected to the concept of Hashgacha, that God is watching over what's going on here. The area of discussion between Chazal, be it in the Medrash, in the Gemara, be it among the Rishonim, is to what level does Hashgacha go? Do we say, like one area of Talmud says, that if you stuck your hand in your pocket and you wanted to take out a quarter and you took out a nickel, well, God wanted you to take out the nickel. You deserve to work at it, to take out to reach your hand into your pocket a second time, to take out the quarter. Do we say that it depends on the level of the person, like the Rambam suggests? People who are on a higher level, Hashem interferes more, is more involved with every minuscule aspect of their life. People who are on a lower level, so then they are more prone to the whims of nature. Whether it rains or doesn't rain might depend on the people or might depend on the individual. The Talmud tells us there were rabbis who, when they were walking in the field, if it would start raining, they'd say, God, everyone's going to enjoy because this rain is a blessing to the land, and I'm going to suffer because I'm out in the field. The rain would stop. They'd get back home and they'd say, God, the whole world is going to suffer and I'm going to be happy because I made it home dry. And then it would start raining again. So you had people on that level, that their communication with God was on the level that literally the rain is going to start and stop based on what their needs are. Obviously, you and I, we don't anticipate such treatment by God. So the Rambam describes that different people on different levels have different levels of connection and levels of expectations. God's expectation from them, their expectation from Hashem. That's why Yosef, on his level, for him to turn to an Egyptian and say, do me a favor, remember me. you take care of me, using a political contact in the hope that he'll get out of jail. That was an indication that he didn't behave the way a person on his level should have behaved due to his connection with Hashem. For me and you, maybe that would be perfectly fine to try to use political connections to get out. For him, God was treating him with more direct intervention, direct treatment based on what he deserved. He shouldn't have been looking for external help. You with me? So, this is the beginning of the understanding of Hashgacha. We mentioned earlier tonight that there's an opinion among Chazal. The Medrash says, every blade of grass has an angel corresponding to it. There are also levels of Hashgacha when it comes to people, to community, to family. The Halacha says, if someone passes away, so all the members of that age group, all his friends, the people who were participants in the same club, they're all part of the same club, the same shul, they should all worry, hey, wait a second. There's a message to all of us. So there's Hashgacha on the level of a family, there's Hashgacha on the level of a group. The Gemara says, if a family member passes away, so then the whole family should feel like they were sent a message. It's a message to everyone. For the first month, for the first year, etc. So, there are levels of Hashgacha. You with me? Okay, and further you'll explore as you continue learning. Yeah?
I got so far that we went to the level of Hashgacha, and if I get to the system related to but not nature itself. As I understand nature itself, nature, the natural world, I should say, is a system that God set up of cause and effect. And Hashgacha, we don't exactly know how it works, but it's some system that could somewhat overlap, or work through.
It's God's hidden hand.
Works through the natural system. In other words, so like the coin example in your pocket. You know, you pull out the coin. I know scientists or whatever could argue that, you know, you had some kind of chance that you made, you know, you have that coin, you pull out.
The Ramban
says. And the Hashgacha is that God, well, yeah, you may have something, but God set up the system in such a way that he could make it such that such would happen. And is that kind of like a more basic understanding of what Hashgacha is?
To an extent, to a certain aspect. That's why the Ramban calls them the overt miracles and the hidden miracles. All of nature, says the Ramban, is also miraculous. Only nature is the miracle that we're accustomed to, so it's the hidden miracle. And when things are an aberration of nature, then we say that's an open miracle. The Ramban has that in a few places, but he says the difference is it's whether it's an open miracle or a hidden miracle. But yes, God works through nature. The Gemara says, if a people had a decree in heaven that they should not have a lot of rain, and then they did tshuva, and they're supposed to have good crops. So what's God going to do? They're not supposed to have a lot of rain. God will make it rain on specifically the points where it'll be most beneficial. It's specifically the times when it will be most beneficial. It's not only a matter of quantity, it's also a matter of quality. So Hashgacha can also be called God's intervention in the world, or God's connection to the world, which is covert. Yeah, you could refer to Hashgacha as that as well.
It seems weird that you have such a system, like, it seems like it would kind of like, in a sense, override nature in a weird way. Like, if God set up a good system, like nature, if it's still the cause and effect, that if I light a candle and then a wind comes, it will blow it out every time. Set up such a system, such a perfect system that has certain checks and balances and makes it so it works. And any time you just tweak it, I mean, it seems like that kind of overrides nature. You have a separate system. And so, I'm not quite exactly understanding how they can meld in such a, I mean, maybe it can go through. It seems like it's not a good melding just like that. It seems like there's something missing there that I'm not quite understanding.
Now, following what you're not understanding.
I think I got this one. Tell me if this helps. Tell me if this helps. There's a Baal Shem Tov story that says